guys. We're now moving into winter for our last segment for this seminar. Tis the season for fun chapter projects, okay? Tis the season. Okay, we have four folks that are going to present some very specific projects that you could use at your chapter meetings.
Sleigh bells ring.
Okay.
In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay.
I think we're all getting a little giddy.
He sings a love song as we go along.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown.
Okay.
He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made walking in a winter wonderland.
Okay. So for our first very specific chapter project that you can do, we're going to hear from Jesse Hartle, who works for the National Federation of Blind in our governmental strategic initiatives and deals with governmental affairs. So he's going to talk to us about some good ways you guys can get some action going in your chapter. So, Jesse?
Good evening, everybody. How are you? All right. Yeah, the three. Excellent. Well, why don't we all stand up just for a second? Everybody take a stretch. All right. We all standing up now? Now, I want the left side of the room to argue with the right side of the room about who should sit down first. Yeah. Okay, cut it. Yeah, you can all sit down now, but that's what working in Washington is like. You watch the left fight with the right, and sometimes things get done. So, we're not going to go there. But we're here to talk tonight about chapter activities that can help in certain ways. And one of the things as a national organization that we all work towards is getting legislation passed through Congress that will improve the lives of blind people. And what that involves is all of us coming together and working to ensure that our efforts get passed. If myself and Lauren McLarney, who is the other government program specialist at the National Center, and John Paré, who we work with, if it's just us going to D.C., our organization would not get accomplished the things that we do. And many people think that it all happens at Washington Seminar, those 3 days in early February, the last week in January, first 3 days in February, first week in February. And that is really just the kickoff to the legislative year. You guys have been going through the seasons tonight, and we are definitely in the last seasons of this current session of Congress. But that's good for chapters in a way, because when Congress every 2 years has these midterm elections or elections in November, those members of Congress from about all of August, all of September, and all of October, and August and October in particular, they are not in D.C. They are at home trying to get your vote this fall. And so one of the things that you can help us do is build relationships with those people when they're back home. Invite them to a chapter meeting to come and speak to you. Right now in particular, they want to see as many constituents as possible to get your vote in November. So one idea is to invite members to come to speak to you and be involved. And that's a way that you can present the issues of the National Federation of the Blind to them. A lot of times in Washington Seminar, when they are in Washington, they are extremely, you know, they're not always in their office when our members come to meet with them. They're on the floor voting. They're in a committee hearing. And you end up with the healthcare staffer who really doesn't handle our issues anyway. And then, so you hand them the packet that we give you with our issues, and the healthcare person passes it on to some other person who passes it on to somebody else. Meeting with members of Congress in the district is an easy way to get a yes or a no very quickly. You speak to the horse's mouth and not necessarily to the LC who's at the other end of the horse necessarily, as we speak in Washington terms. That's the longest way from the answer you need to get. So inviting a member of Congress to your chapter meeting to talk with them and build the relationship. It is all about relationship building. The Georgia affiliate has a fabulous relationship with Congressman John Lewis, has built that relationship over time, and he's been the champion on one of our pieces of legislation. It is so much easier for us from the National Center to bring, to follow up on visits with members that we, our affiliates, have built strong relationships with. So that's the first thing we need your help and the chapters to do, is to help build the relationships. There are 700 chapters in the NFB. There are 435 members of the House of Representatives. We can all do that math. That probably means that every chapter or every member of Congress is basically represented by a chapter. So building the relationships on the local level is key. For those of you who all here has been to a Washington seminar, say aye.
Aye.
Who has not been to a Washington seminar, say aye.
Aye.
All right, so we got a good mix here. Going to Washington seminar or ensuring that someone from your chapter is part of that state delegation is key. As I mentioned before, most representatives probably have a chapter somewhere in their district. Some members of Congress maybe have two or three chapters within their district. And that's even, in those circumstances, that's even better because all the chapters can work together to team up on the one particular member of Congress when they're back in the district and working together. But it's important to try and have representation at Washington Seminar. So when the state affiliate delegation goes into the meeting and that member of Congress, if they're there, says, well, who's from my area? And everybody kind of looks around and says, well, nobody. So not only to have representation for that purpose, but to come back and share with the rest of the chapter, who did you meet with in the meeting? And so that way the staff member doesn't just get one follow-up email or phone call, but gets multiple with the note saying, hi, you met with so-and-so from our local chapter. I'm a member. I'm in the congressman's district. And we urge that he sign on or she sign on to a particular bill. The more people that keep these issues in front of a staff member, the easier answer we're going to get. These people do get file folders after file folders of issue upon issue. And if you just go that one time and you never follow up, or if you only follow up once, the issue gets buried. They get 20 or so issues, probably a day, some of them. So we have to keep in front of the members of Congress and keep following up and following up. Another thing to do on that angle is not just to do one of the other. You can phone call. You normally get a message. I intern for a congressman. Basically, if you've ever tried to call an office, I would say 49% of the time, the person has just stepped away from their desk. 49% of the time, the person is in a meeting, and 2% of the time, you may actually speak to the person. So you leave a voicemail, and some staff members are good about returning voicemail. Most are not. Email, it pops right up in front of them, and most people that work in the House of Representatives or Senate, the email addresses are very standard. very standard formats, and we can help pass along contact information from the national office so you can contact us to help with a particular member. We put out legislative alerts from time to time. Those are normally when we need urgent action or to update. Sharing those at a chapter meeting and maybe working together to write emails or letters, staying after a chapter meeting or as a chapter activity to write letters to a member of Congress are also ways that we can help build our efforts in Washington. I think that it would be good for us to give you guys a chance to ask some questions with the time that we have, because I think the most important thing is you get the information you need out of this. I've given you a few ideas, and if you have questions for me, I think, Joanne, do we have?
No, probably not.
Okay. Okay. You can find me. My email address is jhartle. That's J-H-A-R-T-L-E at nfb.org. And you can reach me at the National Center at area code 410-659-9314. Extension 2233. So that's what I have. If you want to give me a call, if you have a question, I'm in room 530 of the atrium. If you have a question that you think you might forget before you go home, but otherwise I can be reached at the National Center. I look forward to working with all of you in the near future to get our issues passed in Washington. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse. Okay, very important work. Now we're getting out of the important work of what we can do, too, besides having the fun. Okay. Let's see. Chris, you want to go next?
Sure.
Okay. Chris Danielson also works at our national headquarters in Baltimore. And Chris is the director of public relations. And so he's going to talk about how you can actually get some good publicity out there and use the press and use the public media for getting the word out about blindness. So, Chris?
Thanks, Joanne, and thanks for having me. You're a lively crowd. I'm very intimidated. As Joanne said, I serve as Director of Public Relations for the NFB. All right, so important question. How many people do we have in the Public Relations Department at NFB? How many said 50,000? You guys are right. We are now, there are three of us now who work in the national office that have something to do with public relations. There's myself, there's my colleague Jessica Free, and my new colleague Anil Lewis. And the three of us are working on various aspects of public relations, but we can't do it without all of you. And in particular, because we're all educating the public all the time as blind people, aren't we? Now, sometimes we're educating the public even when we don't want to be educating the public. Like when you're walking out in the hotel here and somebody grabs hold of your arm and says, this way, this way, this way, this way, and you have to explain to them, no, I don't need you to do, where are you taking me? What is your problem?
I'm on my own, Mom.
The UPS volunteers are actually pretty good, but still. So we're all educating the public all the time, but more importantly, you guys are the representatives of your chapter is the representation of the Federation in your local community. Now, I learned something very interesting today in our public relations committee meeting from a guy who runs a communications company here in Dallas. And he told us that the Pew Research Center has done a study recently that says that three-fourths of all Americans still get most of their information from, bless you, from local television news. You believe that? And then behind that was radio, and behind that was the local newspaper, and behind that was the national newspaper. We haven't even gotten to internet yet, folks. Everybody says everybody gets their information over the internet. Not so, at least not according to the Pew Research Center. So people still get their information from the local news, which means that when you plan a chapter event, you need to be thinking, how do I get my local news people to that event? So I'm here to talk to you a little about that. One thing that you have to do is make sure that you have a really unique event of some kind, particularly something that involves blind people doing unusual things. Maybe you want to have a bike-a-thon or some other kind of event like that. Maybe you want to have some other unusual event. I think Cow Patty Bingo is kind of an unusual event myself. So think of fun and interesting things you can do that will look good on television or will play well on the radio. And then make sure that you use NFB Newsline or read your local newspapers or watch your local television stations and understand which reporters cover those kinds of events, because local newspapers and local television stations are screaming for news. You know how you can tell they're screaming for news is when they have those umbrella leads, because when you start a television newscast, you know, if you really have a big story, you lead with that big story. But if they say, traffic is backed up on I-95. A dead fish was found in the Inner Harbor, you know, and they list about six other things. That means they didn't have a good news day. So they're scrambling. So they're trying to keep you paying attention. So they are screaming for news. Now, you have to get their attention. Learned a lot of things today. One of the things I learned is that you always want to get the reporter's attention. You don't want to get the assignment editor or the executive producer, because those people don't want to talk to you. If they do talk to you at all, they'll go, yeah, we'll try to get somebody to your event. Have a nice day, you know, and they'll hang up on you. I know you've all had that experience. So try to find the reporters that might be interested. You know, try to find the reporters that go out and cover events in the community or cover human interest stories. Think about how you can have an event focused around one of our issues. Maybe you want to have a demonstration of how blind people travel, and you want to have a Toyota Prius creeping around, and you want to demonstrate that. We had a great success with that with a protest where we had Rosie get run over by a Toyota Prius and put her in a coffin, and you know, it was lots of fun. So we did that in Maryland, and it got us a lot of attention. It got us on all the Baltimore television stations. So those are things you can do. You can bring attention to our issues that way. If you have a congressman come to your chapter meeting, then invite the media to the chapter meeting as well. Invite the reporter that covers that politician. So there's all kinds of things you can do, but you just have to be aware that you need to find the reporters that cover the types of things that you're interested in, the reporters who are out in the community. You know, you don't want the crime reporter coming to your chapter meeting. That's the wrong person to call. And if you have the crime reporter coming to your chapter meeting, then we're really concerned about what's going on at your chapter meeting. So, you know, just know the right person to call, and call that person and be respectful and give them about a week's notice and say something like this. Say, you may have been hearing about this national issue of the blind driver challenge. Well, you know, we're going to have blind people drive around a dirt track with a sighted person assisting, or whatever you're going to do. And you'll find that if the event is unique, they will want to show up and learn more about the National Federation of the Blind. Now, my email address is cdanielsen, C-D-A-N-I-E-L-S-E-N, at nfb.org. My colleague Jessica Free is jfree at nfb.org. That's free with an H. J-F-R-E-E-H at nfb.org. One of the things we can help you do is find local news outlets and reporters in your area. Another thing that we can do is put you on our press list so that you get all the press releases we put out, and you can build events out of the issues that we highlight in those press releases. Just email us. We had a great success with getting chapters all over the country to protest the movie Blindness. That was something that each local chapter could do and did, and we got like 10 television stories across the country because of that. So whenever there's a national issue, we can't always coordinate it from the top, but if you can think of ways to incorporate what we're doing locally, then that's always a good thing to do. Also, really read those press releases, because hopefully what they'll do, if we're doing our job right, is help you to write really good press releases. I'm here to tell you, if you cannot say everything you need to say in a press release in the first paragraph, you're doomed, because the reporter's going to throw it out of the 20,000 emails he gets every day. Everything else is surplusage. You really got to tell the 5 W's in the first paragraph and in the headline of your press release. That's a big deal. So, unique events. Find the right people to talk to. Oh, if you have local talk radio stations, get on those shows as much as you can. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. If they're talking about the new iPhone, call in and say, you know what I'm really glad about the new iPhone is that it's accessible to people who are blind, because not much technology is accessible to people who are blind, let me tell you. And there's all kinds of ways that you can work into your local media.
What about NFB Newsline?
Well, NFB Newsline is a great resource for you. You can read your papers on NFB Newsline, and you can also tell people about it and have Newsline related events. So that's a great idea. So I can't come up with all the ideas on my own, but the point is uniqueness. You know, our buddy from the media firm here in Dallas was telling us today that everybody in Dallas thinks it's a great idea to have rattlesnake roundups. And, you know, the problem with a rattlesnake roundup in Texas is everybody has them. Every single organization that wants to raise money has a rattlesnake roundup. And, you know, this guy told us, you know, you can only collect so many Lucite paperweights with a rattlesnake's head inside of them. You know, you just can't use very many of those. So be creative, be unique, find out what other chapters are doing, and if it hasn't been done in your community yet, you can replicate it. And good luck, and feel free to contact us. We'll also help you publicize it. What's your name, ma'am?
Mary.
Mary makes a really good point in that these national stories that break with regard to issues affecting blindness, local reporters want to know if those stories affect anybody in their community. So what Mary did was really smart. She's a college student who's affected by whether or not universities use inaccessible electronic book readers, and she contacted a reporter and said, hey, I'm a college student. This affects me, and I'm right here in your community. And they love that. Reporters have been calling me the past couple of days and said, you know, this blind driver challenge thing is great, but I want to talk to somebody that lives in my town about how they would feel about being a blind person and being able to drive a car. And that's what they want. And there's nothing to stop you from stepping up there and being the local person and going ahead and putting yourself out there, sending an email saying, you may have seen the attached press release. I am a blind person who lives in the community, and I am directly affected by this. Please give me a call, because they love that human element. So that's great. I don't want to take up too much time because we got another speaker, and Joanne hasn't reined me in yet, but it's probably about that time.
Okay.
So, always feel free to call us with ideas that you have and share them, and always feel free to call on us to help, and email me or Jessica. Again, cdanielson@nfb.org, or you can call me at the center at extension 2330 and get on our email list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, now our next speaker is going to talk to you about how to get young people involved in your chapter, how to do projects to reach out to young people in our future federationists. So here we go, Garrett Scott, who is the expert on this in Georgia. Talk about a lively young group of people in Georgia, and they're all due to the work of Garrick Scott. So what he tells you works.
If you all give me $5, I'll come to your state. That will work.
Okay.
Yeah. So before I get started, I'm going to introduce you all to some words to add to your vocabulary. First of all, who can define the word sick? Yes, what is sick? No. When something is sick, that means it is extremely, extremely good. So if you have a young person and they do something extraordinary, just say, that was sick. All right? Next word. What is ham? Ham. No. Not Pam. Ham. Ham. What is ham? No. Ham is when something is totally off the wall, outrageous, crazy. It's short for mayhem, chaos. So if you have young people who are not doing what you need them to do, say, please don't make me go ham up in here. All right? And last but certainly not least, tripping. As blind people, I'm sure you've all tripped once or twice. Tripping is not when you stumble and nearly fall. It means you are behaving in a manner that is not appropriate and you need to stop tripping. So let's review. If something is good, it is. If you want to avoid having a nervous breakdown or going crazy on someone, you want to go. And if somebody is behaving in a manner that is not appropriate, they are? All right. Now, one of the first things you have to realize in reaching young people, and I promise you that is one of the best ways to bring new energy, to bring fresh ideas to your chapter, is to involve and evolve your chapter to include young people. Now, one of the ways we in Georgia have found to do this is we create programs where we can talk to them, where we can have real conversations and allow them to express themselves openly. Now, some activities we do, we do this particular activity called Generation Trivia. Now, with Generation Trivia, you challenge those young people that you know more about pop culture from their generation than they know about yours. Do you all know who or what Twilight is?
Yes.
All right. So, you all could compete against them, but do they know who Lawrence Welk is? You see, so you get questioned and you make a cutoff, and we usually do it at 35. So 35 and up, you answer questions from the young people's from the students' generation. And then 35 and down, you answer questions from their generations. Movie, music, pop culture, actors, everything is included. Okay? Another activity we do is called Potluck Talent. Now, this, you cannot have a weak heart. It is not for the faint of heart to do this activity. What you do, you allow them to write down the names of songs that they like from their generation, and you put them in a hat. You do the same from your generation. You write down the names of a variety of songs. You pull from each group's hat. Someone from the older generation has to sing the song from a younger generation's hat. If you've never heard the song, you sing it as best you think it would be based on the title. No, well, see, you know, that's where there are those songs. But I promise you, there's a large quantity of their songs that don't contain profanity or don't have that sort of thing. And they're just fun songs. I was going to attempt to sing one, but I think it'd probably be best if I didn't. There's a song now by a group of rappers, and you say, oh, it's rap, it's going to have profanity in it. But it's not. The song just goes, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. And when it comes to money, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody's hands go up. Whoa, no. When they say that, they go, and everybody's hands go up. You pause. And then they go, and they stay there, and they stay there. You know, that's a fun song. They love it. If you sing that song, young people, they go, what? You know that song? And they're going to all do it. And I'm not saying that you need to go home and start watching BET, MTV, VH1 video, Pimp My Ride, or MTV Cribs, or anything like that. But what you need to do is understand, if you're going to have a conversation with them, don't expect them to listen to you when you don't really want to listen to them. So those are just a couple of the activities we do. Something a little more on the serious note we do is the Beta Project, the Blindness Education Training and Advocacy, where we would talk to the students about, and before I go on, one of the things you have to remember, you can't go calling them kids. They're students. They're students. Yeah, because if you were to ask any of them, they say, when I was little. They could be 9, and they're going to say, when I was little. So definitely, if you're talking young people, 15, 16, they consider kids to be younger than them. So the way you address them or identify them is extremely important. So with the Beta Project, what we do is we discuss things ranging from using a cane to not using a cane, using the word blind to as opposed to visually impaired. We discuss dealing with society's misconceptions. We let them perform improvisational skits where they get to act out various situations from crossing the street to being in a grocery store or at church or various drama skits. And you act them out with them, and you go through them and you discuss it afterwards. What could we have done better? That sort of thing. We even have volunteers to come in and teach them the latest dances that they can observe in the videos so that they can do those dances at their proms in high school. You have to be willing to meet them where they are. And I think that's one of the most important things about this organization. We accept everybody where they are and encourage them to grow from that point. So if we're going to encourage young people to be a part of this movement, to be a part of what we're doing so that they can realize how great it is, we have to be willing to accept them where they are. Now, I don't know if there's anything more I could add. This has been a very sick time with me. I didn't go ham. And you all stop tripping and let's get more young people involved. Thanks.
Whoa, I want to go to his beta club. That sounds fun. Nice job. Okay. Now for our final presentation, the last project we're going to talk about tonight, but there's plenty of other ideas and projects on that CD I told you about. Lots of very specific projects you could do there on there. Is Rosie Carranza. And so Rosie's going to finish up with her project idea, and then we've got lots of door prizes we need to finish up with our Christmas gifts, our winter gifts, our holiday gifts for you. Okay? So, Rosie, all yours.
Okay. It is about 9:49, so we are going to do this. This is going to be short, but very, very important. How many of you guys want to improve the education of blind kids? Say aye.
Aye.
How many of you guys are tired about hearing about our low Braille literacy rates?
Aye.
Okay, how many of you are ready to get up, stand up, and do something to change this? Okay, I didn't hear all of you, but I'll take half. No. Okay, so this is what's going on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking. All of you are pretty familiar with the crisis in the education of blind kids. Too many kids are leaving schools without the proper blindness skills, and most importantly, they're lacking positive philosophy about blindness. There are lots of angles that we can use to try and remedy these issues. We in the Federation recognize that we really need to work on helping blind kids get a better education. So one little thing that we're doing that we're hoping will have a huge impact involves the participation and the dedication of all of you in this room. We are out there wanting to look for the next generation of teachers of blind kids. Now, there are about 96,000 blind kids attending schools in the United States. About 85% of them attend local public schools. The rest of the kids tend to go to schools for the blind. And all of those kids really need new teachers to help them develop their blindness skills and to help them develop positive attitude towards blindness. What we have done is we've created a few tools to help attract people into the field of blindness education and to help spread the word about this career. We developed teachblindstudents.org. If you have not gone to the site, you should check it out. It's chock full of resources that you can use to help others discover the career of teaching blind students. For example, it includes kind of a brief description of why we need more teachers. It includes a list of all the university programs in the country who prepare teachers of the blind. It includes a list of requirements by state, saying, okay, if I'm living in Texas, what do I need to do to become a teacher of the blind? It includes information about funding your education, and we're adding new content to it often. It also includes, a listing of things that teachers can benefit from as far as the Federation goes, you know, what it is that the Federation can provide them while they're preparing to become teachers of the blind. And we're hoping then that we can use this website as a recruitment tool. But the website itself is not going to do the trick. This is where you guys come in. What we need are folks who are willing to put on a presentation at a local college, university, or high school to help spread the word about the career of teaching blind kids. Now, you may say, well, you know, I'm not an educator or I'm no longer a student. Let me tell you, the story that you have to share with others about your education, whether you received a wonderful education, whether your teacher was terrible, it is very, very powerful and can move a crowd. So let me tell you in detail what we're asking. What we're asking is that that you work either in your chapter or as an individual, contact a local college or university or high school, and request a little bit of time to do a presentation about teaching blind kids. And we have lots and lots of materials prepared to help you with this. For example, if you've never contacted a college or university or high school and are unsure of where to begin, we have a step-by-step guide that can tell you how to do it. We have an email that's ready to go. All you have to do is put your name on it that you can send to colleges and universities, letting them know that you're a member of the Federation and that you are looking to do a presentation to help educate, you know, teachers about blindness and to help help them find out about the career of teaching blind students. If you're a technology person and you'd like to use a PowerPoint during your presentation, we've developed a PowerPoint that's ready to go that can be emailed to you. If your style is more, is more something along the lines of getting up there and telling your story, that's A-okay too. If you want to bring along a couple folks with you for the presentation, if you want to bring a blind child, basically what the presentation is, you do something that you're comfortable doing, whether it's using the PowerPoint or telling your own story, either approach works. The important thing is to get in front of people, let them know about this career, let them know about the plight of the education of blind kids, and really move them into considering working with blind kids as a career. We also have developed these shiny, beautiful, colorful, wonderfully attractive materials that you can pass out of your presentation. Bookmarks, posters, brochures, and they all describe, you know, the career teaching blind kids, the benefits, and they all point people to teachblindstudents.org. Basically, we're trying to make this as easy for all of you as possible. We recognize that you have a lot to do, that you have lots of interests, you know, things, projects that your chapter may be working on already within the Federation, but really, the education of blind kids is a priority to all of us, and I'm really hoping that within your local chapters, you can organize something, and with my help and Joanne Wilson's help, we can help provide you these materials, you know, give you guidance along the way, encourage you, give you some ideas, and really get out there and put on presentations. Whether you can do a presentation a year or one a month, at the, you know, we are willing to take whatever you are able to provide. But this is a very, very worthy project. It cannot be done just with a couple of us. We need all of you out there sprinkling this dust, you know, getting people out there, getting the word out about the career of teaching blind students, and communicating to people how important it is that we develop the next generation of teachers. On the CD that Joanne's been talking about, we have included information about how to actually put on a presentation. It's all very detailed. It's something that we really needed to consider doing. Blind kids are counting on us to get them some good teachers. And all of you in this room have a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and I'm really hoping you can commit to helping out. If anyone has any questions that you don't want to ask in front of everybody, I'll be around a little after this session. I'm happy to answer your questions and to get you started on this get you started on some of these presentations. Thank you very much. You can get yes.
It's a marshmallow in the winter.
Okay, so yes, as we're finishing up, we're going to do some door prizes here. Okay, chapter presidents, this one is just for you, okay? Okay, chapter presidents, I want to know who is the youngest chapter president here. Uh-oh, you guys don't want to shout out your ages? Okay, we said we have a... You said we have a 29? 29. Anyone younger than 29?
You're really 29?
Okay. What chapter are you from? Perfect. What's your name? Don, congrats. You've got yourself. Let's give away. Okay, now we're going to mix up the seasons. We're going to give away these. Oh, how about these 4th of July flip-flops? And a gift card to Baskin-Robbins, okay? All right. Now we're going to have a couple trivia questions for everybody, the general audience here. Now, the way we're going to do this is if you know the answer to this question, I want you to stand up and say your name, and the first name we hear is the name we'll call on, okay? Now, you may have to dig back into the history books for this one, but who was the first National Student Division President? Okay, Susan? Yes, woo!
You're right, say it!
Okay, be confident. Okay, we're going to do another trivia question for everybody.
What did Susan get?
Oh, let's see, Micah, what are we pulling out here?
Sparklers.
Some sparklers, and we're, because you're on fire for the Federation.
And
a gift card.
Two.
Yes, you can use it in Jesse Hartle's. Okay. Okay, this is another, this might be too hard. Okay, here's another kind of digging back into the history books, okay? What was the original name of the Braille monitor? Anyone else besides Susan know the answer to this? Anybody have any guess? Does anybody know that people not know there was another name to the monitor before? All right, Tina, what do you
think?
Yes,
right.
Yes, all right, there you go.
Yeah. That was actually, by the way, folks, walking home and
perfect.
Together, it's
online. All right, you get an umbrella for those rainy days and a gift card. Okay, let me look down my list here. Okay, let's see, from a chapter president, I want a chapter president who can name me the title of one speech from each of our leading presidents. So one Dr. Tim Brooks speech, one Dr. Jernigan speech, and one Dr. Maurer speech, a title. Do we have any chapter presidents that can do that? Well, okay, we'll open it up to everybody. Okay, we'll open it up to everybody. Does anyone else? Let's see, anybody have, can name a title of each of our state, of our presidents, a speech? Okay, Mary. Oh, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Within the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dr. Ted Brook, the Federation, and Dr. Jernigan. Yes. And one Dr. Maurer.
Oh, yes. And back
all
to
all right. There she goes. And incidentally, we want to thank Pete Donahue for all his work tonight doing the music.
Okay.
So thank
and
you, Pete.
Mary, you get Domino's to play and a Walmart gift card. There you go. Okay, and then our final door prize of the evening is going to go to our longest-serving chapter president. Okay, anybody here? Let's see. Who's been serving for a while? Okay, anybody more than 5 years? 10 years. Anybody more than 10 years? No, chapter president. Serving for a chapter president. Okay. So 10 years seems to be our longest serving chapter president. Anyone else? Okay. Well, who's that gentleman? For what?
Right,
what chapter? Congratulations. And you got a door prize.
And what did they get?
Oh, you're going to get quite a variety of packs. I think to represent all seasons. You're going to get Dunkin' Donuts for those cold, wintry nights. Gift certificate. Sparklers for the summer. Some seeds to plant for the spring. And, yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That concludes tonight. And thank you guys, especially, waiting all this time and staying to the very end. You deserve a special, special thank you. So thank you, and take all these ideas, and let's build the Federation.